Agenda item number six, Blackbeard Pond Partnership. Mr. Madden.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
If I could, I would like to recuse myself from this part of the
Let's err on the side of caution here. Would you go into the library?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Madden.
Commissioner, members of the commission. Blackbeard's Pond Partners LLC request authorization to dredge 1,220 cubic yards of new material associated with the maintenance dredging of the entrance channel to their existing marina situated along the Potomac River at 190 Plantation Drive in Westmoreland County. This project is protested by an oyster ground leaseholder, which I understand is present, who I believe is present here today, and nearby property owners. Blackbeard's Pond is located here. Could you drop the lights a little bit? There's quite a sheen off that screen. Thank you. Well, that doesn't help. It never does. Anyway, this is the location on the Potomac River. This is Coles Point. County seat's over here, a few miles away. Blackbeard's Pond is a marina with a campground, a restaurant, and the marina is sited within a man-made boat basin excavated from the upland. I have an aerial photograph of that. You could bring that lights up again. As you can see, this is clearly a man-made boat basin. This is the marina here. Full-service marina, restaurants right here. Potomac River is out in this location here. Inlet channel, the access inlet channel. The applicant proposes to reestablish depth of minus 7 feet throughout the basin. And to accomplish this, the applicant proposes to mechanically dredge approximately 5,500 cubic yards of sediment, which is largely inside the basin. However, only 1,220 cubic yards of the proposed dredging involves state-owned submerged lands. That's within the jurisdiction of the Commonwealth, because I'll show you in a few moments in the drawing, but basically it's from this point along the shoreline, historic shoreline, before hilltop sand and gravel dredged and created this basin. So this would be the area over which we have jurisdiction out here. And I'll give you more details. Dredging operations will be conducted from an excavator mounted on a hopper barge, with the material being offloaded to an upland location. The entrance channel is approximately 70 feet wide and mostly confined between two existing riprap jetties, which you see here in the middle of the slide on the right-hand side here. Approximately 320 feet of the channel involves state-owned submerged lands. I pointed that out a moment ago, and you'll see more in a moment. The channel will extend approximately 130 feet beyond the end of the jetty out into this region here. The proposed dredge channel will terminate approximately 40 feet landward of existing channel markers, which are two day boards, and I'll point them out in a moment. Here's what I was discussing a few moments ago about the extent of commission jurisdiction. I highlighted it in green here. Here's a little closer view. As you can see, I pointed out and tabbed red number two and green number one. Those are private aids to navigation. Private aids to navigation were established by the marina operator. And if you turn to page 2-1, this is a detail of what's in your packet right now. One of the things I'd like to point out here is it would be a 2-to-1 side slope. It would be part of the design of it. The 4,288 cubic yards of material will be in the man-made section of it. To the left of that green area the remaining will be jurisdictional. I want to give you an idea how they're going to accomplish this. Now we're looking, the day boards are basically behind us, and we're looking right straight into the channel. Not much dredging is going to go on out here. We're just about at where the connecting 7-foot contour. The excavator will be on the hopper barge at this point. They'll dredge out the material at the head of the creek, under the inlet, and they'll move into the basin. Incidentally, if you'd like, I have a full-size drawing if you want to see that. There's a 100% drawing right here if you'd like. As they move further up into the inlet, you can see that they'll be removing a little bit more material. At this point, around in this location here, the excavator will be removed ashore, and they'll operate the remainder of the dredging operations from the shoreline into the hopper barge. Not a very good photograph, but this is detail 2-2. Very long thing, hard to put on a slide, but I wanted to show you that only about 320 feet of the channel, that's the side elevation of the channel, will be jurisdictional. It's all going to a uniform depth of -7. One thing they do want to do, I want to point out here, is they want this to be on an as-needed basis. They're requesting authorization to conduct maintenance dredging as needed throughout the cycle. This is a ground shot showing what's existing there. I'm to the right of, obviously, I'm standing to the right of the jetties. You can see the stone jetties are continuous height structures. The purpose there, of course, is to maintain the integrity of the channel as to the best they can. The good thing about this particular thing, this structure, is it also confines the dredge operations and will attempt to confine any sediment material that might tend to spill out. I'm a little closer, showing, and I might also point out the day markers, which are obvious out here. The project is protested by Mr. Edward Arnst, the leaseholder of an oyster lease located channelward of the proposed dredge area. Mr. Arnst acquired the lease in January 2015. In his March 8, 2016 letter, Mr. Arnst expresses his concern that the marina dredging operations will silt over his oyster lease, you'll see it here in yellow, and impact his oyster ground and livelihood. I've taken the liberty of superimposing the red 2 and green 1 channel markers. You'll see that they're right on the border of the Arnst lease, and the direct impacts to the Arnst lease there will be no direct impacts from the dredging on the Arnst lease. The limited dredging and noted up in the upper right hand corner, the dredge prism will come approximately 45 feet, give or take, inboard of those two day markers, which were along the line, the outside periphery of the Mr. Arnst lease. The project is also protested by collectively by George W. Sanford Jr., George W. Sanford III, and Benjamin W. Sanford. In their letter dated March 4th, the Sanfords claim that the deeper, newly dredged channel will trap sand before reaching the property and adversely impact their shoreline. I sketched that off, scaled that off. This county provided this particular slide, and the slide shows that clearly the Sanford property is 1,000 feet from the guarded inlet channel. In an effort to address the indirect impacts to the Arnst lease, the applicant has agreed to deploy a sediment curtain during dredge operation. The intent of this is to intercept any sediment that would migrate out of the channel and onto the Arnst lease and other areas remote to the dredge operation. No portion, as I mentioned before, of the Arnst lease will be directly impacted by the dredge operation. And commission records indicate that the lease rent has been paid and the lease was productive in 2015. the Virginia Institute of Marine Resources commented that the marina is man-made and its geometry suggests that it is likely poorly flushed. Therefore, they expect the accumulated sediment to be very fine. When dredged, this fine sediment will cause a plume of turbid water that may impact oysters on the adjacent lease. To minimize the impacts, a turbidity curtain, which has been proffered by the applicant, should be placed during dredging at least dredging of at least the outer portion of the channel that extends the entire length of the breakwater east of the Potomac River. To further reduce the extent of the sedimentation plume, dredging should occur during an outgoing or flood tide on the outer portion. This would reduce the transportation of suspended material to the lease. As for the Sanford's concerns, although dredging channels can affect sediment transport along the shoreline, in this instance, the channel already exists and is confined within channel jetties. Accordingly, it is unlikely the proposed dredging will significantly impact or alter sand migration into the inlet channel. Since the dredging will not impact any jurisdictional wetlands, the Westmoreland County Wetlands did not assert jurisdiction over the project. No other comments have been received, and no other state agency has raised any objection to the project. In terms of a summary and recommendation, staff would like to provide the following. Dredging operations have an obvious yet typically temporary impact on the benthic and other aquatic communities. The suspension of material into the water column will temporarily affect water quality in the marina and the adjoining entrance channel. However, the marina and its inlet are confined spaces, and the applicant has offered to deploy a turbidity curtain during all dredge operations. Provided the turbidity curtain is deployed and maintained by an experienced marine contractor, staff believes that the direct impacts to adjacent state-owned submerged lands will be temporary in nature. Accordingly, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed with our standard dredge royalty and the following conditions, and that royalty only is associated with, of course, the state-owned submerged lands. The permit agrees to deploy a turbidity curtain designed for the expected wave climate, and the device will be deployed and maintained during all dredge operations while allowing vessel access. The permittee, and these are the standard conditions, the permittee shall provide a post-dredge bathymetric survey of the dredged area within 30 days of the completion of the dredging. The survey shall be signed and dated as being accurate and true. The survey will be referenced to mean low water and shall include at least 10 evenly spaced transects across the width of the dredged inlet, with soundings taken at intervals not exceeding 10 feet. Accurate bathymetric data from each transect shall be used to establish the top width of the dredge cut, plus or minus a foot, and shall include a depth measurement exterior to both sides of the dredge cut. Excuse me. The post-dredge survey shall vary uniformly around the permitted dredge depths, with the average depth approximately minus 7 feet at mean low water. Any areas dredged deeper than 7.5 feet may be considered a violation of the permit and subject to enforcement action. A pre-dredge conference will be held on the site prior to the commencement of any dredge operations. The meeting shall be attended by the permittee, the dredging contractor, and a member of the BMRC staff. You can imagine who that might be. The meeting shall be held within 7 days prior to the commencement of any dredging and shall include an inspection of the previously staked dredge area. That would be a dredge if they were not using a hopper barge, if the dredge material was going to go upland. And maintenance dredging may be conducted through May 24th, 2021, providing the permittee notifies the commission at least 15 days prior to the commencement of operation. And the maintenance dredging notification shall include a description of the disposal site and verification of the authorization to use the site if it's on property not owned by the permittee. That pretty much sums up what we have to say about the project. I understand that the applicant is here as well as at least one of the protestants, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have concerning my involvement in the project.
Thank you, Mr. Madden.
Sir.
Questions from the commission. Mr. Ballard.
Would the maintenance dredging be subject to the same requirements as the original permit?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Madden, have they indicated how they're going to dredge this material, or have I missed it somewhere in your write-up?
Yes, sir. They're going to use an excavator.
Excavator. Okay.
It'll be either on the hopper barge.
Okay.
As they come into the channel, typically the barge with the excavator will come in here, and they'll basically work their way right up the channel. The excavator will be planted on the barge. Then as they get closer to the up into this area, they'll move the gear to the shoreline and still fill the hopper barge. Then the hopper barge gets full. It leaves.
Follow-up question. And tell me how the turbidity curtain works with the excavator formula.
Well, a turbidity curtain typically is a device that's deployed around the perimeter of the project, a work site, and it is a boom. It'll float at the surface. It'll be weighted at the bottom. The idea is that the material will floating material there is, the fines will float, would intersect the upper portion of the boom and drop. You'll see it around ships all the time in Navy and dry dock. And it'll drop down and fall out before it has an opportunity to leave. The real challenge, sir, is how they're going to get access to the marina while they're working. That's something that the applicant would be willing to discuss.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Other questions from the commission?
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Kellum.
VIMS had recommended that the dredging take place during flood tide, but that was not, unless I missed it, it was not in staff recommendation.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah, we staff discussed that, and based on the fact that a vast majority of the dredging was going to be conducted that was outside of our jurisdiction, we felt that that was something that, if the commission felt that that was important, that they could include in their discussion and deliberation. Of course, using conducting dredge operations during a flood tide would further minimize the potential for any material to migrate out of that area.
Thank you.
Are aware of the discrepancy between the VIMS comments and our position.
Mr. Erskine.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Madden, I was just curious, was any consideration given to a time of year restriction for potential oyster spawning activity in this area?
No, sir. No, that was not. VIMS did not make any recommendation about that.
If I can have a
follow-up. Mr. Erskine.
I believe, and I know this is a detailed view that you have here, but in one of your previous slides, you had kind of an overview of where we were in the Potomac River.
Yes.
And directly across the river was probably, I believe, the Potomac River Fisheries Commission last year closed that area to harvest because it was one of the highest recruitment events that had happened in the last 25 years. Albeit it didn't seem from the surveys that the Virginia portion of the Potomac had as much spat set, but there could still be some reproductive activity in that area despite the lower salinity that, you know, the lower Potomac has.
Yes, sir.
So I was just curious. I noticed the VIMS comments weren't there, but if there was any consideration that staff had for that, too. So I'd be interested in the...
Perhaps Dr. Weston could comment on that.
Well, let's put him on the spot.
Dr. West.
Yeah. Good morning. That area that you're talking about that we saw recruitment in the Potomac is actually quite a bit downriver from that area on the other side. I mean, I have never seen a spat in my life in Nama, which is the next and Lower Machoda. I know that they may be an occasional one, but recruitment in that part of the Potomac, like at Ragged Point and stuff, is almost non-existent. I don't know where it goes. I can't imagine that oysters aren't spawning, but we're certainly not getting any recruitment. So I don't think it'd be a really high priority to have a timing restriction on that. Because you're so far inshore, and the sediments are so fine, and they're going to be moving up and down the river, and they're not going to be going out there. So not even close to any of the public bars or anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wesson. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Mack, a couple of questions that I have here. How do you envision the turbidity curtain being deployed? would it be across the mouth of the channel there between the jetties, or would it be kind of a circle around the immediate area where they're dredging?
That's going to be a real challenge because while it would be, from an environmental point, it would be advantageous to cover the entire inlet mouth, it would make it possible for the marina to operate. So I believe if the containment curtain was confined in the inlet area a little more closely around the gear, it could be much more effective while allowing passage of vessels outboard of the containment boom.
Good point here. Another question. Where are the dredge spoils destined? Where are they going to go?
I've been told that they're going to be transported to an upland location. I do not know, and I regret that I wasn't able to provide that information on the spot.
All right.
But the hopper barges typically will bring it to a commercial offloading site, which it'll be dumped. I think that the applicant could probably furnish that information for you, sir.
Sounds good. Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Madden.
You're welcome.
Is the applicant present or represented? Please come forward, sir. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Great. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Martin Spittick. I am the general manager of Coles Point Marina, which is the name of the Black Bear Pond, of the marina operating the Black Bear Pond property. And Mr. Bull and commissioners, good morning. I do want to kind of start off. It's interesting, the two protests. One's protesting that we're going to dump sand out, when the other one's protesting we're going to suck sand in. So a little bit of a dichotomy there. The first thing I want to point out is we are the easiest access safe harbor on the lower Potomac, period. Any other place you've got to go for big boats, you've got to go up creeks. We are directly on the Potomac. We've got 138 slips, out of which 50% of those are for transient. I've got 3.5 acres of protected anchorage, fuel, the boat yard where we can do emergency operations, safe. And all of that is inaccessible to anybody over 5 feet draft at mean low tide right now. Okay, so for the boating public, we are a safe harbor. We're the easiest access one. The other part of that is that we are part of the local community. As Mr. Madden mentioned, we've got a restaurant on site. I employ 14 people. Restaurant has 26 people. There are 40 people, all local folks directly related to the activity of that marina. So we aren't somebody from outside coming in. We're part of the community. We're trying to be part of it. And everybody working there understands the relationship between who and what we are and that river. I've been on board since June of last year. We've made improvements to the marina proper. All of that has been done with local businesses. We've not imported anybody. And again, all that's directly related to access, boat access to the marina and the marina operations. Lastly, I'm retired Air Force. I spent a number of years in the Pacific. I lived in Hawaii. And I say that not to go, ooh, but I understand the relationship between humanity and the environment, between what we do on land and the water and everybody participating in it. We very much want to be a good neighbor. We're not trying to come in and impose upon our neighbors onto the oyster beds or anything. We just simply want to maintain, not building anything big and new, just maintain the marina we have so that we can have access for the boats to come in so that we can conduct our business. We want to make sure he can conduct his business with the oysters. We just want to make sure we can conduct ours. In that, we had already planned on doing the title, because we had talked about that early on when we first saw the protest. Before we ever looked at any kind of designs, the first thing we decided to do was we would schedule that against the tide so that it brings everything in. And then, once we saw the VIMS, very much we will deploy the curtain. We will do what we need to do. The one thing I ask the commission is you don't impose upon me restrictions that forces me to shut down my marina. Because I'll go right back to the 40 people I employ. They're directly related to our operations. So all I'm asking for is a cooperative effort. We will do everything we can. I just ask that you don't tie my hands, make me block off my marina and shut down during the dredging operations. So you ask about the spoils. It's located on the map here. It's an area about three quarters of a mile. inland. It's already an approved spoils area. That was done when the basin was originally dredged out. It's still there, and it's notated on the map here. That's up front. So that's really it. We're here to be a part of the community. We understand boats. We understand the water. We understand the relationship, and we simply want to be a cooperative part of the community. We just ask the community to cooperate with us. That's all I have, sir. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
Can you describe how you would deploy the turbidity curtain without blocking the channel?
That's, frankly, I don't have a clean answer. That's why I'm kind of using around the dredge area as he's actually doing it is the only solution I have right now. However, there are challenges to that because it simply operates out. It limits how quickly we can get out. And frankly, I think it's to the benefit of everybody that we get in and get out. So there's some trade-off in time management and how much we disturb and how we deploy it. If we deploy it permanently around the whole perimeter, I shut down my marina. I don't have access to it. We can deploy along the lateral sides out to the markers and leave those up as long as I still have entrance back and forth. And again, that'd be my preferred option because I can deploy those. I don't have to worry about it. They can get the dredging done. We will dredge during the incoming tide. I still have access coming in, and then we get done, we get out, and we move on.
Other questions from the commission? Would you be willing to put dredging during the incoming tide as a permit stipulation,
yes,
as a permit requirement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Sir, so you, I imagine your busy time for the marina is during the summer months, maybe after Labor Day Memorial Day to Labor Day, roughly?
Yes, sir. In a perfect world, we would have done this in March. Mm-hmm. I do not live in a perfect world. With the protest and the timing and the way it's all worked, I wanted to get this done March and April. We didn't make the commissioner's agenda for April. I need to get the permits in place, and then I've got to go back and kind of really look at how quickly I can get started based upon what my busy season is. But again, my busy season gets limited because I have limited access.
Mr. Erskine.
So as a follow-up, I guess you're proposing to put the curtain in, although you're not really sure how that would go, but certainly to remain open during that time because it'll be during your busy season. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this project? Is there anybody who wishes to testify in opposition to this project? One of you, please come forward, one at a time. I need the swear in, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Get on it. I'm a leaseholder. The first thing that happened was when they were notified about this, I wasn't notified about the program. One of the adjacent landowners notified me. He had his package from Bayshore Design for almost 2 weeks. And he called me and asked me what I thought about it. I said, well, hell, I don't know anything about it, you know. So I felt like he was trying to go around me, you know. But why they're not notifying me? So I called Bayshore and they said, well, we didn't know you had the lease. We didn't even know it. And the last time it was dredged, and the plantation actually owned the lease at that time. That's why there was no opposition before. When it was first dredged out, it was opposition from Ernie Harding. He owned the lease. Him and Dillard owned the lease, and the plantation ended up buying the lease from him. And that's why it was no opposition the first time. I don't want to sell the lease. I want the lease. And ready to come out of the mouth there, you know, all ground isn't good. You know, it's 44 acres there. And it's only about a few acres, you know, there that are good ground, good hard ground. Some sand there, a lot of sand, and then there's mud bottom. Right beside the jetties to the left of the post is one place that's a good hard, you know, it's really close to the opening. And then another place right straight out from it is a good hard piece of, you know, a few acres there. And I'm just worried about, and I know Mr. Weston said he didn't see any spat on that side of the river, but there are some spat there, not a great amount, you know, but there is some spat on that ground. And it's in Ragged Point Hollow there, right next to Ragged Point, like that, you know, the ground there. And there's a little bit of spat, not a great amount. But I'm just not so worried about the curtain and all this deal, especially if you're going to do it on flood tide. The curtain really doesn't even bother me, you know. It's what's going to happen after they dredge it. You know, am I going to lose ground now? By, you know, is my ground going to shift into that opening now? Because that's what happened now. It's filled in, you know, from before. So it's going to fill in again. Is it going to affect some of my ground, you know, bring sand over it, sand it over? But, you know, I just don't know what's going to happen now in the long run. The dredging doesn't really bother me so much in the curtain. The curtain is just going to cost them a lot of trouble and a lot of money. I'm not trying to do that either, you know. I want some kind of insurance that it's not really going to hurt my ground right now, my lease that I have got. That's really all I'm looking for.
Okay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Would you remind the commission of when you entered into this lease with the state?
Last year or the year before.
So you realized the marina was there?
Oh, yeah. Did they realize I was there? Nope. You know, that's my question. You know, because their man said they thought that they owned it. You know, their Bayshore Design. He thought that they still owned the lease out there. I know he's got a business to run. I don't want to cost him any extra money. That's why I'm not worried about the curtain. You know, that would give him free access in and out of the marina anytime they want it, you know. And I know it's going to cost more money to do a boom out there. You know, the contract's going to certainly charge him more money for that boom. And if you're going to do it on flood tide, to me, the boom is a non-issue for me.
Mr. Erskine?
Mr. Arntz, can you describe again of those 44 acres where you said it was productive or where you felt the oyster ground was?
I ain't sure if it doesn't show the whole ground on here.
Well, maybe Mr. Madden can put that up for us. Right.
This area here has some good ground right in here. So, really good piece right out in here. And then the rest of it would be down in this area here, some down here, a few little pieces in here. Look, it's kind of spotty, but it's hard to follow. This is all over here. All this is going to be mud, sand, and real bad sand and gravel down that way.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to say it's 7-8 acres of good hard bottom there, you know, that you can work.
Thank you.
Mr. Arntz, let me ask a question. What would you like the commission to do here?
I really don't know. You know what I mean? I don't even know. It's just that I'd like to have some kind of insurance from somebody that it's not going to affect my ground right there on the corner. Yeah, it's so bad. And
why do you think it would?
Well, sand's got to go. It's got to move. It's got to go somewhere. When they dig it out, more sand's got to come in. Because it's filled in now. Because they dug it a few years ago, you know, whenever they dug it last time. And it's filled in now, so they have to dig it again. So, you know, it had to move from somewhere, and it had to move from somewhere in that close vicinity, I would think.
Well, it strikes me that sand's going to move whether or not this channel is dredged or not.
Well, if it's dredged and it's leveled off now, it probably stop shifting right there. And if you dig that hole out, then it's going to shift back to it again. It's my feeling.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. Sir, would you like to testify as well in opposition to this project?
Yes, sir.
Let's do that. Please raise your right hand. I need to swear you in, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
George W. Santa, Jr.
Thank you, sir.
This property that I'm concerned about has been in the Sanford family for 68 years. This is the first time I've had an opportunity to request it to be heard concerning it. I'd like to walk over to the map if I may and use that to explain my concern.
Mr. Madden, would you put the larger scale map up there? You have a video that shows where Mr. Sanford's property is, or not a video, but a slide?
That map is fine. Let's just go with that for now.
Do you also have a pointer there, sir? Mr. Sanford, the commission meetings are being videotaped and audiotaped. We need to be able to hear you, so if you can use the pointer, you can show us while still speaking into the microphone. No, just point it towards the screen over there. There you go.
All right. A statement was made earlier concerning it being 1,000 feet from the entrance to the basin to my property. And that's not correct. Now, a second statement was made that it is unlikely to affect my property, and that's certainly not correct. The area of concern would be my property. I own the beach, not the ground behind the beach, but I own the beach for approximately 1 mile down the Potomac River going south. The reason on the beach, my grandfather sold lots down the beach after 1948 when he purchased the property. There are approximately 50 lot owners from that area southward. Each lot is 100 feet wide, 250 feet deep. You measure the lot from Warner Avenue toward the river, giving each lot 25,000 square feet, valued by the county, assessed by the county for tax purposes at $188,000 per lot. That's without a building being considered. That's just the value of the assessment. So approximately $8 million in tax revenue comes to the county by virtue of the Ragged Point Farm, which my grandfather bought and developed and sold the timber. But his idea was he'd reserve the whole beach for everybody, for the persons on the that bought riverfront lots and for those that bought the back lots. And to this point, through my father and through my brother and myself, we have not sold any frontage. We still own all the frontage. And it'll vary in width from 55 feet that we own in front of each lot, down to, with the erosion that has taken place over the years, to a very few feet. And my concern is, when this was dredged out 15 years ago to get into the basin, and then more recent than that, the whole basin was dredged out. That's all man-made back there. That with the currents, the tides, the wind, the storms, the progression of the sand is from south to north, really from the southeast. If you're looking across here, you go to Maryland. If you're looking down there, you're going south. The erosion that's taking place along the beach, sand just can't get west because it's blocked all the way down there. There are no other creeks where it can go. Having this entrance and having the sand moving from southeast to northwest, the movement is this way all the time. From here up, those people are not concerned because it doesn't draw. That sand goes on out to the lighthouse, which used to be out here, and now it's just a beacon. If you knew the Coles Point Lighthouse and knew its history, it would probably make more sense of what I'm trying to say, in that when these lots were sold back in the 50s and 60s, people that would buy them was before air conditioning in our community and in the surrounding towns. Let's go to the river because it's going to be cooler in the afternoon. Prevailing southeast wind. That's why those lots sold. Now, they assessed at $188,000 just for the land, and you know, some of them are worth $1 million. So good use has been made over the years of the Ragged Point Farm that my grandfather bought with 488 acres in it. He made enough money selling the timber on that to buy the adjoining farm, which I own, has 243 acres. It's no problem with anything other than having that dug out and taking 37,000 tons of 8,000 being out of the state ground, the rest of it being here. When that sand is taken out, then it's going to draw from here. It's going to draw there to fill back in over the years. And the proof's in the pudding on that, because it wasn't that long ago that they went in there and took the sand out and pumped it back over into the woods back in this direction. And you can fly across it today. I can go across it in my airplane. Every time I go across it, I see white sand in the woods where it was pumped back there. So what's going to happen is it's just going to be taking the sand out from this area to fill back in there, and it won't be long before they're going to have to dredge it out again. I don't have any answers. I'm just telling you, I haven't had any problem with any one over there. The gentleman that spoke, he said he'd been here for a year. I've never seen him. I've never had any contact with him. If you stand from right here up there, they own that little bit of beach. I own the rest of the beach. I own the beach in front of their properties back in here. And I own the beach because it was part of Travelers Rest Farm. And I'm not asking for anything other than for your wisdom in how to protect the general population southward and for the general good, not to be digging a big hole out here and back in here so that it will cause this to filter back. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sanford. Is there any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedrin.
Is there any possibility, maybe, from what you said, it sounds like it's sand they're going to be excavating. Is that right?
When they went in that dredge before and put the sand over in the woods, it was white sand, because you can look at the satellite picture of the area today and you can actually pick up where that white sand is over in the woods.
Well, here's my point, is that we talked about, you know, they're going to excavate it and take the sediment or sand up river and unload it. Has been any consideration given to maybe just unload that on your beach, making your beach bigger? I mean, if it's good sand.
Good sand.
Why don't you just unload it on your beach and make your beach bigger?
I'm all for that.
Okay.
I'd just rather they didn't dig such a big hole that would require all the other sand to move.
Mr. Erskine.
Well, along the lines of what Mr. Zedron said, when they dredged previously, did you have to do on your beach area any renourishment?
No, and I brought along something that I was called into. I try to, of all these landowners south of me that have the lots, and I own the beach in front of them, I have been cooperative as possible to help each one of them. The other day they were putting riprap on my property because I still own all the avenues. So I go down and I get a map and I see that today, after measurement, there's 34 feet left from the gentleman's property to the river. I've got a drawing with me that was made in 1991, and the survey showed that there were 55 feet. left on the beachfront at that time. That is, the bulkheads have been put in along the river. Everybody along the river is trying to hold their own yards and the sand that's there. They have put jetties, and I've given permission every time they've asked to put a jetty on my property. They've put seawalls trying to keep the sand from going north. That's where it's always going because of the southeast breezes and currents. So, as far as replenishing after that, my father was living. He was a deputy sheriff in Westmoreland County. He was more interested in law enforcement than he was in his riverfront. And I have not, I've gone down there and done what I could to keep everybody satisfied. And I really, when they dredged before, my father was still living. He didn't object to the dredging that took place at that time. And, you know, when I went down the other day and trying to help those people with what they were doing, I saw that, my goodness, I didn't realize the beachfront was going away that fast. In 25 years, I've lost 21 feet, almost a foot a year. And it's not going across the river to Maryland. It's not going south. The beach, when it's broken loose and when it's being filtered out and the currents are taking it, they're taking it north. And it can't go around the lighthouse because that's all a beach all the way up to almost to the lighthouse. It used to be it was all the way to the lighthouse, but that's a road that's some out there. So you've got a cove in there, and the sand goes down the beach, and it'll go into anywhere that anybody digs a big hole. But nobody else along the whole mile is digging a hole. They're all trying to protect what they've got. And, you know, they don't get called down here because they're not adjoining landowners. Only reason I got called because I'm an adjoining landowner, and they said it was 1,000 feet. It's not 1,000 feet. If you look at that, if this is 70 feet wide, and that's what he said it was. What am I doing wrong? If he says that's 70 feet, then they own 500 feet, and I own the next 5,000. And naturally, they're not too concerned with what happens in their 500 feet because it's part of what they're doing. And I'm concerned for the next 5,000 feet.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Sanford. Appreciate your input. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this project? Mr. Spedek, give you a few minutes to rebut.
Yeah, okay. Just, you know, I will tell the commission right now, based upon the plats that we have filed at Westmoreland, our property line stopped right there. We will go back and we will double check to make sure there's not a disconnect. That's something not for this commission. Okay. The other part of it is, I would argue that the erosion is more due to currents and whether there's. And for the 130 feet that we are, there's 130 feet that's exposed right here from the engine jetty. That's not a big hole that's going to suck things. The current's going to do what they're going to do. It's just a question of where they're going to deposit the sand. Again, I'm not a scientist when it comes to that. I am a mariner, and I do understand a little bit of that. If I can go back to, let me figure out which slide it is. This is the best one right here. Going back to the question of, how much is being dredged, and the issues along the with the oyster bed. This information is in the survey that was done, but I'm giving it to you anecdotally as a mariner. Okay, right here at numbers 1 and 2, there's a ridge that comes up to 5 feet. Just prior to that ridge, it's at 8 feet. So it's right here. Just after that ridge, it goes back down to between 7 and 7.5 feet. And comes back up again right in this area. And those really the. So we're not talking about taking 2 feet all the way. It's not a uniform issue because going back to the currents that we were just talking about, those currents have dumped the sand and put things so that we've got just a ridge right here that blocks boat traffic, and another ridge right in through here. We're already at 7-ish. Okay. Again, I'd go back to survey to get the exact answers. So it's not as if we're excavating a huge amount to where it's going to pull stuff off the oysters, and the things that the currents carry from the southeast. If they put them there, or if they put them anywhere, we will have to deal with when they get there. But I do not, in my heart of hearts, believe that our activities will induce that sand move. They may end up being a repository for some of that, but they will not induce the sand move. That's a function of currents and nature. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Thank you, sir.
Seeing none. Thank you, sir. Last call. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter who has not been heard? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
I do have a question for staff or possibly VIMS, whether there's someone that could comment as to whether dredging would induce or accelerate adjacent erosion.
Well, that's a good question. It varies from site to site, and that's a legitimate concern here. There are some points that I'd like to make, though, concerning that. I think if I go back, I realize there's talk about the whole basin that we're talking about here. That's a very small area out there, and it will influence temporarily the sediment dynamics in that area. It won't dictate it from there. We have characterized all the beaches in Virginia, but especially on the Potomac River. Those are online. The erosion rates are available in the 1930s. And in this area, as you've heard, there is a precipitous drop-off not far off from shore. So longshore transport is not like, say, on the seaside or the bay side of Eastern Shore. There's not a lot of sand shallow. A lot of the Potomac River, it's a huge river, of course. It's the largest tributary that we have, and there's a lot of energy associated with that. What we have seen in our work is it's mostly storm-driven and in that area. But the sand is very close to shore, and then the bathymetry changes very quickly offshore in most areas there. So the longshore transport is a little bit different. You can see on some of these, there's a few growings down there that they have a buildup from the north to the south. That's probably from an event. But you can also see the waves of sand and their buildup near the jetties, which are normal on both sides. So we don't have one. We may have one general thing from the south to the north, as has been said. But our feeling here was that that's not going to really affect any of the shoreline. Those processes, as the gentleman said, are going to go on whether they dredge or not. That's not going to influence the greater area to that degree. There'll be a temporary catchment, and we will say that there was not a sediment analysis done for the area inside the marina. We suspect, from what we've seen from other man-made areas like this, that it's mostly silt and clays from deposition from the water column, because these are very poorly flushed areas generally. If it was sand, that'd be a different story, but we would suspect that would not be, unless there's an analysis that shows that, amenable to beach nourishment, because we prefer 95% sand, what's placed on the shoreline. Something goes down to 90 sometimes. But Mr. Commissioner, if I may, since we brought up the turbidity curtain,
yep.
There are some creative ways that you can use a turbidity curtain that significantly reduces the sedimentation of the water column without completely enclosing anything. You can work with them where there's a cut in them. We've seen that before. So there are creative ways you can do this without having to worry about egress and ingress in and outside of the marina. Hope I've answered that question.
Mm-hmm. Lyle, I have a request. if this project is approved, would you give your phone number to the applicant here so that you can discuss appropriate and efficient uses of turbidity curtain?
Be happy to.
That'd be great. Thank you. Any other questions from the commission? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
I move to approve staff recommendation with the addition that the dredging activity occurred during flood tide.
I second it.
It's a motion by Mr. Ballard and a second by Mr. Minor. Any discussion on the motion or the issues? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. I do understand the concerns that the protestants have raised, but I haven't heard an answer that would allow the marina to continue to operate as a marina. The project is approved with the permit conditions as discussed, and the vote was unanimous. Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you coming all this way.